Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser. Billy, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Newell.
Billy, I just had a conversation with the governor about litter on the interstate coming into the city of New Orleans. He mentioned that he knows that this is at the top of mind for you each and every day. He just had a meeting, I think yesterday, with the new head of the Department of Transportation, and they're going to try and do something, he says, to address that litter on the interstate coming into the city, which is music to my ears. I know it drives you crazy. It drives me bonkers.
Yeah, you know, when I first got Keep Louisiana Beautiful moved under my office, I met with some of the contractors that cut the grass and pick up litter. Four of them admitted they had never picked up litter, even though they were paid to pick it up six times a year. And several of them only cut the grass three or four times, even though they were paid six times. And at the time, the state DOT director told me, well, they don't have the people to police it. So from that moment forward, I've been on a mission to get the state to give local government or private contractor get out of the grass cutting and litter business. And let's do it on a local level. They can do it better, cheaper, and the local government who gets the complaints, they'll make sure it gets done. And I was so proud of the new head of DOTD, Glenn Ledeck, to hear him say that in committee, that they're going to look at pushing it down to the local level. You know, a lot of states, the highway departments are getting out of everything but fixing roads and bridges. That's what they're good at. That's what they need to do. And leave all this other stuff to local government, push the money down to local government. They can do it better, quicker, and cheaper, and hopefully get the roads cleaned up.
You and I had a short conversation the other day, and I was kidding you about you being all over the state of Louisiana. I mean, you see it all the time. I don't know if you've been in that stretch of highway between the cemeteries in downtown New Orleans, but it's filthy. I mean, it's
horrible.
It's a joke.
And if you go on the up ramp by the municipal auditorium to head towards
that's
Baton Rouge,
terrible.
Yeah. It's people dumping bag loads of garbage on that up ramp, and we're going to be working with. I've had a long conversation with Sidney Torres, and what can we do? Because he's passionate about litter and cleaning up. You know what he's done in the quarter. But what I'm looking for, these garbage companies in every city where they get paid to pick up the garbage, they can donate a couple vacuum trucks and maybe a street sweeper to give the local communities a couple tools that they could use weekly to keep those areas clean. Because those down ramps are too dangerous to walk up and down picking up litter. But you could zoom up them with a pickup truck with that machine in the back, with that vacuum out the window, and suck up that garbage and keep them clean. And if you clean them up, they litter again. But over time, if there's no litter, people are less likely to litter. So it's something we're going to keep our foot on the gas. We've got a lot of good things happening. I had a conversation with the head of marketing for walk-ons about putting garbage cans back in the parking lot and emptying them. We are working with a owner of about 10 Sonics that is going to roll out a new plan to clean your car out when you come to Sonic at these 11 locations. So we're going to get local businesses involved. We're going to give them the publicity they deserve if they step up to the plate. You know, Crackle Barrel is the only company that has garbage cans all over the parking lot. They clean their parking lot in the morning, evening. You never see trash there. If every business did that, it would take a big bite out of litter.
No doubt. Let's talk. Recently, you've been working hard because the numbers are reflecting that the number of Canadian visitors coming to the U.S. has been on a downtrend. You've have pointed out that we really can't afford to lose that sector of the visitors that come to the state of Louisiana. What do you have as an update?
Yeah, we've been having a lot of calls with our team up there, our consultants, and although they're down on, you know, the comments about being the 51st state and the tariffs, we believe that while most people have cut off marketing in Canada, we believe they still love Louisiana. We go up every year and do a big party for the Congre every 5 years. They come down the next year to Festive International. Those crowds from Canada were very light this year. But we feel like it's perfect timing for us to go up and market. We're going to be going up there for a week, taking a train ride and having events in several cities. We'll be serving Tabasco ice cream at one of the big malls and at the train station. And hopefully to meet with those travel agents, those tour preparers, and then get people excited and let them know Louisiana still loves Canada and get them to book some trips to come back to Louisiana.
Yeah, it's hopefully we're able to succeed a little bit because, you know, I think you know this better than most. We're beginning to see a downturn actually across the country, right, in travel. I know Vegas is having some issues that have been reported on extensively, and you're beginning to see that. We got to win these little battles every day.
Yeah. You know, this new rail line, which I rode on Saturday through Mississippi into Alabama, and each stop, they had hundreds of people in those towns excited about coming to New Orleans on that rail line. And I hope this will lead us to looking at pursuing the Baton Rouge, the New Orleans to Baton Rouge, then Baton Rouge to Shreveport, and then that line that's been talked about from Dallas across North Louisiana, not only for tourism, but for economic development, for companies that move stuff by rail. But because of the over abundance of cancellations with weather and problems at the airports, people are driving and the roads are clogged up. So this having the opportunity to have rail as a way to bring people in and out of Louisiana and move people around Louisiana is an inexpensive way for people to travel that travel on a budget. So we're excited about that rail line, and we're going to partner with Mississippi and Alabama. When people are coming in from out the country, they don't just want to go to one state. They want to go see three or four states and see how Americans live. So it'll give us a chance to get them to fly into New Orleans, and they'll be able to see some of Louisiana and see some of Mississippi and Alabama by rail, because rail travel is such a big thing overseas. When it's available, a lot of these foreign visitors like to take it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I thought it would take a lot longer in time. One accident and the rail's going to be faster. I mean, it's almost becoming like Houston between New Orleans and Pensacola with the construction that's always going on. There's hardly a season or a day that there's not construction in that corridor.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, before Katrina, that line ran all the way to Florida. So we're hoping this line will get used and Florida will pick it up and extend it into Florida as well, which will just give us another tool in our toolbox to bring people from Florida into New Orleans and then hopefully travel around Louisiana. But yeah, it's traffic's not getting less. The airline problems are not going to go away anytime in the short term. So anything we can do to move people in and around Louisiana is going to be another tool in our toolbox.
You are going to be at the Nichols State game on Saturday night. And I think it's reported that this will be the first time ever that the Nichols State Colonels are on ESPN. Is that true?
Yeah, ESPN2. I'll actually be there in the morning. We'll be giving away some T-shirts, some red T-shirts, Louisiana Feed Your Soul. We want everybody in the stands to wear red. They're calling the red out. We want a good crowd, people to turn out to the first 500 people who get a T-shirt. I'll be there giving them out. We want to have a good showing for the Cardinals, for the school, and for the community. Having that live TV coverage is going to be a really great opportunity to highlight Nichols and all the great things in that community. And we're excited about getting that exposure for Nichols, the university, and the community.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about the 20th anniversary real quick coming up. You guys have re-engineered the exhibit, the presentation in the Presbyterian. You've also set up a number of activities to take place on August the 29th there in remembrance of that cataclysmic event for sure. Talk to us about what we expect to see and what you hope to accomplish on the 29th.
Yeah, you know, when I would visit the museums and I would see people leaving the Katrina exhibit, you know, teary-eyed, it was pretty depressing. We wanted to make sure as we mark the 20th anniversary, we highlight all the positives that have come out of Katrina, the reinforced levees, the people that have, you know, brought their lives back and are doing good now. So although we wanted to keep all of those moments, when you leave the exhibit, as you leave, there's a new video showing the wall, all the enhanced protection pump stations. So you leave there on a positive note. Hopefully people that may go through a disaster in their lifetime will see that you can come back, build it better, stronger. So that is going to be an incredible exhibit that will open, will cut the ribbon on that day. That morning, we will have at the Lotte Theater, we're going to have some of the people that have gone through Katrina, myself, you know, riding out Katrina 14 miles from the eye in Plaquemines. We invited all the leaders back. Walter Isaacson will be there, Mayor Aaron Broussard. We invited Ray Nagin. He declined. But we wanted to get some of those officials and people that went through it to talk about the challenges then and now and lessons learned. And so that'll be a great panel discussion. That will be at 10 o'clock at the La Petite, how you say that?
La Petite Theater.
Sorry about
theater.
That. Yeah. The ribbon cutting will be at 9 o'clock at the Presbyterian. And then we'll have some hors d'oeuvres and be showing the exhibit all day that day. It'll be free, open to the public. To see the exhibit that's going to be going on indefinitely after. But it'll be a day to well, – we have some national, international press there that we'll be interviewing with throughout the day, having people there for interviews. So it's going to be a great opportunity. I believe you're going to be doing your show from down there.
So, yes, and I hope that you will agree to have join me and talk
absolutely.
About that. You and I actually interacted during the course of that storm many times, if you recall. And
yep. So
it's interesting times for sure.
Yeah, we'll make sure all of you know we'll get the other participants to come over and chat with you too, if you'd like. So the public can hear some of the things that everybody went through. I think it's a good time to remember those tough times, but also to celebrate where we are today.
Billy, you've talked about this a lot. Breaking news, radioactive imported shrimp in Walmart.
Yeah, you know, that. Yeah, it's pretty pretty shocking. Well, it's not shocking, but, you know, we've been beating on our congressmen and senators for a long time, that we need an inspection fee placed on imported seafood, 10 cents a pound. That'll give them the money to hire a lot of inspectors. Right now, they inspect less than 5% of the seafood coming into this country. Some of that they inspect is rejected, chock full of antibiotics, bacteria, things that can really harm you. And yet we're eating this stuff. Luckily, the Louisiana legislature, we have some new labeling laws. They now moved inspection. The seafood board under my office and Mike Strain has partnered up to start doing some of the inspection. They just caught some mislabeling seafood in Lafayette. We want to make sure if it's Boudreaux's crawfish tails, they're really Boudreaux's crawfish tails. They're not from Taiwan. So we're really cracking down on the enforcement here in Louisiana. And I've been able to get some of the other lieutenant governors to do the same. In South Carolina, they tested 40 restaurants that said they were Gulf shrimp. 23 of them lied. CBS News did a national show where they went in 20 restaurants in New York, and every one of them said those were Gulf shrimp. Every one of them lied. All 20 were imported seafood. So we're bringing new attention. This Walmart ought to be a wake-up call for our legislators in Washington to do something about it. Put the burden on those foreign importers. Add 10 cents a pound. They'll be able to hire a lot more inspectors and get that inspection up to 50, 60% of the stuff coming in, and maybe they'll clean up their act if enough of it gets dumped. So it ought to be a wake-up call that we need to do more to protect that imported seafood and what it's being grown in and what's coming into this country.
Have you had an opportunity to talk to Secretary Kennedy about this?
Way back when we first started, we've talked to all of them about it. We've sent them numerous requests. And I get it. There's a lot of battles going on in Washington, and timing is everything. But I think with the political stroke we have now, with Mike Johnson and Steve Scalise in the leadership positions, and the fact that I've got resolutions passed by all the lieutenant governors supporting this, ought to give them the ability to go to those states and get their congressmen and senators to sign on as co-sponsors before the import lobbyists could kill it in Washington. So hopefully we can get this latest thing will give us a little momentum into getting them to push this legislation forward.
And I did want to real quick, I know that you guys are giving out free museum and park passes at libraries. We only have a minute if you tell us about that real quick.
Yeah, you can go to library.louisiana.gov. You can get passes to get a whole carload in a state park for the day or passes to visit our museums. It's just another way to get our kids in those libraries reading books. And we also have the Keep Louisiana Beautiful thing where you can check out Tongs Invest and take your kids to pick up litter for the day. We're trying to encompass all my departments with the libraries just to bring more attention to our libraries all over Louisiana.
Absolutely. Great opportunity, folks. You want to take advantage of it. Thank you so much, Billy, for joining us. The Lieutenant Governor of the state of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser. We will see you next week.
Thank you, my friend. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend and good time with the Nickel State Colonels. They're going to be on ESPN2 for the first time ever Saturday night. Check it out. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.